Isaiah 40 this morning. We're going to read verses 29 through 31. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 is the beginning verse. Isaiah 40, 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this wonderful passage in the Scriptures. And Father, we wait excitedly to hear what our pastor has for us today that you have for him to give to us. Now, God, help us to have ears that hear and willingness that do what's preached today. God, work in our hearts mightily. Help us. There's many needs in this room this morning that man cannot meet, but you can meet. Please bless now. Please help. Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, they've never trusted Jesus for their salvation, I pray before they leave this room this morning, they would take care of that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I remind you this is pumpkin season. If your cell phone goes off during the service, we will jam a pumpkin on top of your head. So you don't want that, really. So make sure it's turned off or turned to vibrate. We'd appreciate that very much this morning. We've all quoted Isaiah 40, 31. We've heard it quoted. We've even held it up to the Lord and say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We've all quoted that verse and clung to it, its promise of renewed strength. Strength to keep us flying like eagles, running, the Bible says, and not be weary, walking and not fainting. So the idea there is the strength that God will renew for you will enable you to go from flying to running to walking, but you'll still be able to keep on going, because when God renews your strength, you have strength to keep on going. You ever get to the place where you just think it can't go another day? But he'll renew your strength, the Bible says. Now, what I'm afraid we do with this verse in Isaiah 40, 31 is we spend all of our time talking about renewed strength and flying and running and walking with this renewed strength and all that God can do. And we pass the most important part of the verse, which is you have to wait on the Lord to get that. Are you any good at waiting? I hate stop signs, red lights, all that stuff. I really hate standing behind people in line who have all the time in the world and in no hurry to get there. That aggravates me. I've offered people to pay for their stuff if they'll just get out of the way so I can get out of there. So if you stand in front of me at Walmart, waste a little time, you may get free stuff. Never had me take up on it before, by the way. I'll buy that if you'll just let me out of the store, please. Well, it said 82 cents, and now you're charging me 83 cents. I'll give you the penny. Really, I'll give you a dollar if you like. But please just ring this up and let me go back to my life. I hate waiting. To wait on the Lord. Now listen, you do not have the renewed strength. You do not mount up with wings as eagles. You do not run and not be weary. You do not walk and not faint without waiting on the Lord. But it means to wait in a proper or correct fashion. Now, the word wait in the Bible means to wait with expectancy, anticipation. Okay, when we were expecting our first child, I was determined I was not going to be one of those idiot dads who went crazy when the wife said it's time. You know, jump in the car and drove off and leave your wife at home and all that kind of stuff. I was going to be Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collected. Because we went to the classes, the Lamaze classes. I don't even know if they even do those anymore. Where the husband is the coach and the wife does all this concentration, breathing, stuff like that. My wife gave birth to 4 children. The fourth was C-section. She had to have medication for that. But the other 3 took no medication whatsoever. Just natural childbirth. She got up and walked off the delivery table with the first one. Yeah. I was laying in the corner crying. She walked off the delivery table. It was amazing. So we're getting down to time now. We've been to Lamaze classes. We do our practicing. Ever done Lamaze? How many ever done Lamaze? Okay, a couple of you. And you know, do this practicing, breathing, and all this kind of stuff for her to control the contractions and pain and stuff and give natural childbirth, that kind of deal. But you're waiting. You're waiting for her to say, it's time. And it's always the middle of the night. I mean, who's born in the middle of the day? Nobody. Everybody's born in the middle of the night. You're laying there, you're kind of half awake, half asleep, because you know it's time. It's time. Doctor says it could be any time now. And so there's this waiting of expectancy. And then one night she said, this is it. It's time. I said, okay. And I thought, I'm not going to be an idiot. And I turned into an idiot. And it wasn't too bad. I went out, I started the car open, all the doors, turned the heater on. Well, I don't know why you got all the doors open with the heater on. Went back in, got all the stuff, put in the car. The hospital was only 5 blocks away from where we were living. We were living in Chico at the time. And I got there in about 8.2 seconds. They showed us where the side door was to go in if it was the middle of the night. They said, if you get in the middle of the night, here's the side door to go into the hospital, to right to the delivery room, because we'd already done all the paperwork and everything else. The door was locked. The lights were off. The hospital was closed. It looked like it. I about tore that door off the hinges. I mean, I knocked it a few times, and I started yanking on that thing. I said, it was dark in there. I said, all the baby people went home? So we walked around to the front of the hospital. Well, then the person at the desk says, oh, well, you have to fill out this paperwork. I said, look, we already filled out all this paperwork. We already did all that pre-thing with the stuff. You know, no, but you have to sign this and that. I said, okay, look, she's having a baby. Can I just take her back there while she's having a baby? I'll come and sign stuff and be back. No, you have to sign this now. And so we got back there and got to the delivery room, and I made it fine. Everything was okay. And got through it. Now, the second child, that was a little different. I was a veteran then. I knew what to do. We're living in Indiana, and that time comes. We're ready, you know, did the classes, did everything. Ready to go. She starts having contractions. Okay, fine. Call the doctor. He says, how many minutes apart? We told him. He goes, you might want to go to the hospital and get checks. Not close, but just check. So we get in the car. We drive to the hospital in the middle of the night. We go to the hospital. No problem. She's not having heart contractions. Everything's good. Take her to the hospital. Walk in. Go to the delivery room area. Nurses there. I said, my wife, doctor said to come and have her checked and stuff. She said, okay, go, have her go in that room. And she went in there, and they were in there checking to see if she was coming along and that kind of stuff. And I was kind of leaning on the desk. I was talking to the nurse about this is our second child. And boom, boom. The door flies open. They come pushing her down the hallway on a cart, and the nurse is going, don't push. And I went, what in the world happened? They throw these scrubs at me and say, get in there and put those on and get in the delivery room. And I ran in there, ripped off my clothes, put my stuff on. I was going to be so calm. And I walk into the delivery room, 2 nurses and me and my wife on the delivery table. This nurse walks up to me and she goes, tell her not to push. The doctor's not here. I said, okay, I'm the coach. And I said, honey, doctor's not here yet, baby. She goes, I'm having this baby. I said, somebody get down there and catch. She's having a child right now. This is it. And the nurse delivered the baby. I mean, right then, boom, boom, psh, delivered. We weren't even in the hospital 45 minutes, and she had the baby. From check her out to kid. And then our doctor was a little Chinese guy, Dr. Wong or whatever he was. He comes walking in, you know, Mr. Casual, putting his little mask on, and the nurse is over there holding the baby, all wrapped, cleaned up, and the little girl, Jenny, wrapped up in the cloth. And then the guy walks up to me, little Chinese man, looks up at me and goes, how come you no wait? I said, talk to the woman on the table, doc. I had nothing to do with it. It was time. Where were you? Still got a bill. He wasn't even there. They that wait on the Lord. Expectancy, anticipation. in the raw and pure sense of the word weight in the Bible, it means the twisting of a rope. See this rope, ladies and gentlemen, it is made up of several cords that are wrapped together to form and to make this rope. Take several of these cords, you twist them, you tie them together, you wrap them together, you intertwine them, and it makes this really strong rope. They that wait upon the Lord take the cords of their faith and they bind them together so you can wait on God like you're supposed to. Let me just say this quickly. Waiting, there is a right way and a wrong way to wait on God. You know that, don't you? The wrong way is, what's he doing? What's this all about? When's God going to come through? When's this going to happen? I've been praying about this. Well, this should be taking place. And by the way, it's not like, you know, you're a heathen because you've ever done that in your life. I've done it and you've done it. But that's the wrong way to wait. The way I wait in line at a grocery store, at a Walmart or something like that, I don't like that kind of waiting. I get aggravated because I figure, come on, man, get your stuff and get in there. And it's most aggravating when it's 12 items or less and there's a guy with two shopping carts full of stuff and he's going to go through that line. I'm thinking, can't you read, man? Get in the other cart and pick in line. And then it aggravates me because the person behind the counter checks them out anyway. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Make a move. Make a move. Come on, get him out of the way. That kind of stuff. That's the wrong kind of waiting. Come on, Lord. What's this all about anyhow? I've asked you. I've prayed. I've trusted you. I'm waiting on you, God. And when are you going to come through? That's the wrong kind of waiting. And here's what happens. With that kind of waiting, you don't get renewed strength. You don't mount up with wings as eagles. You don't run and not be weary. And you do not walk and not faint. You faint. You wear out. And you couldn't get off the perch if you wanted to. The point is, see, this idea of the rope and the twisting of the rope, you take several things that make a rope, that make the strength of it, that makes it useful and functional. The only way to get the strength that God's going to give you, to renew your strength, is you've got to take cords of your faith, the things that you should be believing, and put them together, and with those things together, then you're going to wait on the Lord like you should. And then you have renewed strength. Then you can mount up with wings as eagles. Then you can run and not be weary. And then you can walk and not faint. I'm talking about the cord of faith that says, you know, but while I'm waiting on the Lord and I'm getting a little anxious here, I do remember what the Lord has done now. Isn't that funny how we are in a moment of crisis? All of a sudden we act like there's no God. Nothing good's ever happened in our life. Nothing will ever take place. We forget all about the stuff that God has done in our lives and in the lives of others. You leave that cord out of your waiting on the Lord. You can't make a rope of faith that waits on God. It is in, I won't have you turn to it for time's sake this morning, but listen to this. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. People have had to wait on God before by trusting him, and God came through. See, yeah, Pastor Johnson, I waited, and it didn't come through, and whatever it was I waited for, it didn't happen. I prayed, and it didn't happen. I expected God to do something, and it didn't happen. I trusted him in faith and I asked him in faith and it didn't happen. What was that all about? No, what happened was you didn't get it the way you wanted it. You didn't get it when you wanted it. You didn't get it how you wanted. And you think God made a mistake because you asked and he didn't give you what you wanted. Now, come on, ladies and gentlemen. Are we not wise enough to know that God in heaven knows better to not give us everything we ever asked for and everything we ever wanted, even if it was something that was good? I like almond joy, candy bar. I said almond. It's not almond. Do I have to teach you everything? It is not almond. You don't say salmon. You say salmon. Take the S off, put a D on the other end, you got almond. It's the same stuff, people. I like almond joy candy bars. I do. I like payday candy bars. I like Snicker candy bars. I like candy bars. As far as I'm concerned, hey, payday candy bar is good for you. It's got protein. It's got peanuts. It's not really good for breakfast, however. I've had them for breakfast, but it's not good for breakfast. I promised to give them to my grandchildren. Don't tell anybody, I'll give you a candy bar. You know, one of those deals. It's grandfather's prerogative. Certain things are good, but not necessarily good at the time. Yes? Every good parent has had to say no to something that was good because you knew it was better for them at that time. So you said no, and you knew it was better, and they didn't have the maturity or the understanding to figure it out. Now, why is that good parenting on our part and not being a good God on his part? You understand? That cord of knowing that the God of heaven, what he has done in our lives. Oh, there have been times, you know it's true. He's answered prayer, answered and met a need, and you didn't even ask him for it yet. He was ahead of you on the thing. And then we come to waiting on God because we're trusting him for an answer to prayer. We're trusting him for working in someone's life. And we're trusting him for help that we need in our lives. And all of a sudden, everything goes out the window. It's like there's no God. Well, it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, I don't want to. Whoa. To make that rope of waiting on the Lord, you have to have remembrance of what he has done. And God, my friend, God has been faithful to his people. Yeah, that's right. Don't leave that cord out. You won't wait on God. You'll doubt him, question him. Believe he's not faithful, doesn't know what he, all that kind of stuff. No. They either wait upon the Lord. Then there's the cord of remembering what he's done. Then there's the record of remembering that I have to accept his will. Now listen carefully. Accepting the will of God in a matter, dear people, is not waiting until it happens and then accepting it. Accepting the will of God in a matter is accepting the will of God before it happens. You ask him, you trust him, but you're willing to accept his will in the matter before it takes place. See, we want to sit back and examine this thing. Okay, I'm going to ask him, and then if it turns out the way I've asked, then I'll decide whether or not I want to accept that as a part of God's will. That's not how he operates. Here's another passage for you this morning. Don't turn again, please. Let me read it to you. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now we say, okay, that means I pray and say, God willing. No, it says I ask according to his will. That means I'm asking and accepting the will of God in the matter even as I ask. I stood beside the bed of a loved one and asked God to spare their life, and they died anyhow. I've asked God to keep people from cancer, and they still got cancer. I prayed for miracles that didn't take place. I wasn't asking for the miracle of winning the lottery. I was asking for a good one, like spare somebody's life or their marriage or their home or their family. And it didn't happen. But wait a minute. When we do really say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, you say that when you ask. You're willing to accept the will of God in advance for whatever it is. Well, you should be specific in your prayer. Absolutely. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. James chapter 4 says, all that means is be specific. But go ahead. But now listen, and don't just say, but I do accept your will. Go ahead and decide in advance, as I'm asking, even before I'm asking, whatever it is, God, I will take whatever it is from your hand. This is what I desire, Lord, but I'll take whatever you got. Whatever it is, God. You put that cord with remembering what God has done, you can wait on the Lord the way you're supposed to, because you're going to wait. And whatever the outcome is, you're not having a problem with that. See, I'm sorry, people. I think some of us forgot who's supposed to be God and who's supposed to be his people. Right? Who's the shepherd and who's the sheep? Got way too many sheep trying to tell the shepherd what to do. Won't accept what the shepherd desires, so then they're going to be the shepherd and he gets to be the sheep. God is not sheep. God is not going to follow you. Doesn't work like that. Well, he should give me whatever I want. Now, that's a foolish thought. No, he shouldn't. He should give me what's best for me. That's in his will now. You have to take the cords of our faith, the things that we believe by faith, and those cords together, they'll help me to wait on the Lord correctly, remembering what God has done. Accepting the will of God in the matter. And also this morning, understanding that, wait a minute, accepting his will in the matter before it happens. Remember in the book of Daniel, we call them three Hebrew children. They weren't children, they were grown men. Names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Most people know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's not Abednego. It's Abednego. King made a decree, put up a golden statue. You bow down and worship it. When the worship band comes out, you bow down and worship it. If you don't, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. Everybody bowed but those three guys. When the king found out about it and they were brought before the king, their statement is very telling. They said, well, king, we don't know how this is going to turn out. But we can't bow, so we can't honor your laws, king. Can't do it. They did not know how it would go. Now, we know they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Jesus was there with them. Only thing that burned was the ropes that tied them, and they came out of it just fine. But they didn't know that. They were willing to burn rather than bow. That's what you call accepting the will of God when you ask him. Then you take that one with trust in God, knowing he's always done what's best and right, remembering what he's done. You take that with accepting his will, and you put one more to it, and that is you obey his word at the same time. See, we think waiting on the Lord is stand around, take it till you can't take it anymore, and then see what God does. That's not waiting on the Lord. Okay? What is the renewed strength for? Mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Why is there no standing in that? Why no renewed strength to stand around? Because that's not waiting with God. You ever in the military? Remember an expression they use in the military a lot? It's called hurry up and wait. They'd march you like mad fools to get to some place, stand there, and you'd wait for 2 hours. You think, we could have waited in the barracks. Nope. They'd march you over there, and you'd stand around and wait. The truth of the matter is, dear people, listen to me. We think waiting on the Lord means you just stand around and do nothing and God shows up. No, 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 no. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. For what purpose? To keep doing what they should have been doing while they were waiting. The worst thing you can do when waiting on God is do nothing. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord, so we quit going to church. I'm waiting on the Lord, so we get away from our Bibles. I'm waiting on the Lord, so we back off from the things we know we ought to do. That's when you want to keep doing what you're supposed to do. But I don't have the strength, but he will renew your strength. I believe he renews as we go. And if we're reduced from flying to running to walking, there'll still be enough strength to take one more step and just keep going. But waiting on God is about our obedience also. Obeying him as he's waiting, while we're waiting on him to come through and do the things that God can only do. There's one thing you never have to wait for with God, and that's salvation. Never. You don't have to wait on the Lord to save you. No. In the old days, they used to call it praying through. People wanted to get saved, they had to cry and beg and fall on the ground, beg God to give them the chance to be saved and all that kind of junk. That's the old Calvinism that got into our churches and just messed things up. You don't have to do that. You, a sinner, trust Christ, the Savior. The moment you do, you're saved right there. You don't have to wait on anything. God's already done everything. He's waiting to give you that salvation. You must trust Christ to have it. You don't have to wait on that. But in the Christian life, you're going to have to take and bind up some cords of what you believe and just stay at it and stay with it. I know it's paralyzing sometimes. We think, you know, Pastor Johnson, I just don't think I can go one more day. Then just go one more day. That's all. I don't know about going another 6 months or 16 years or 20 years or however much long. I don't know about that. These next several months in my life are going to be some of the busiest I've ever had in my entire life. But I don't know about what's going to happen in 3 months. I know one thing. I got to do today what I'm supposed to do today. I'm coming to church tonight to preach and teach the Word of God. I hope you'll come to listen to it. I hope we'll come and be obedient to the Lord. And tomorrow morning, when we get out of bed and it's time to go to work or time to go into our day, we're just going to get up and say, I just don't know. You just do know this. God is sufficient for the day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yeah, there's enough trouble in it, but there's enough God in there to get me through the trouble. Yeah, there's enough stuff in life, but there's enough God to get me through the stuff in life. I can get through this thing. God can help me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, just one day at a time. See, if you if you wait on the Lord correctly, He'll renew your strength. So I've been waiting on God, not getting renewed strength. Well, maybe it's your attitude about the whole thing. Maybe you've got this thing flipped around on who's God and who's not. Wait on the Lord. I say, wait on the Lord, be of courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait. I say, on the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Even the youths shall faint, but not those that wait on God. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.